Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered, the uncommon ecstatic symptoms of Adiruddha Bhava are appearing in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is very wonderful. How are they possible in the body of a human being? Purport. Adiruddha Bhava or Adiruddha Mahabhav is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Ujvala Nilamani. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes Rupa Goswami as follows. The loving propensity of the Ashraya, devotee, towards the Vishaya, the Lord, becomes so ecstatic that even after enjoying the company of the beloved, the devotee feels that his enjoyment is insufficient. At such a time, the lover sees the beloved in different ways. Such a development of ecstasy is called anuraga. When anuraga reaches its highest limit and becomes perceivable in the body, it is called bhava. When the bodily symptoms are not very distinct, however, the emotional state is still called anuraga, not bhava. When bhava ecstasy is intensified, it is called mahabhav. The symptoms of mahabhav are visible only in the bodies of eternal associates like the gopis. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Churubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I ask for your permission and blessings to speak something on Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is definitely way beyond my realization. This Adiruddha Mahabhav, I think it's probably beyond most devotees' realization. I don't know, but Srila Bhakti, Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who quotes Rupa Goswami. From the Ujvala Nilamani. I looked up the Ujvala Nilamani. I haven't personally read it. I don't know, maybe Srinivas, have you read? He hasn't. But I read an introduction to it, and it says, you won't understand this. So I didn't read much more. Somehow or other, I didn't have time anyway. But so in the word for word, Srila Prabhupada translates Adiruddha Bhava as an ecstasy technically known as Adiruddha. Now, a couple of words there, apart from the word Adiruddha, which I'm not quite sure I know what it really is, but the two other words are interesting. One is ecstasy, and the other is technically. So, this is ecstasy that the Lord is displaying here, although the ecstasy isn't really displayed because he's completely unconscious. Now I'm interested in the word technically because, like Maharaj said yesterday, this is actually technical stuff. One thing that occurs to me is that Srila Prabhupada says at the beginning of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he uses the word science 5 or 6 times. I may have mentioned this before, but I'll just go to the English. Bhagavad Gita 4:1. Most of you will probably know this word, evamparam, this verse. But in the translation, he translates Lord Sri Krishna as saying, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god. In verse 2 of the chapter 4, he says, this supreme science was thus received through the Jaina disciplic succession. And in the same purport, he says, but in course of time the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. So that's three sciences so far, the word science. Verse 3, that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you. And because you are my devotee, as well as my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So what's that, 5? Then verse 4, Arjuna said, he picks up the same idea. The sun god Vivasvan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand it in the beginning? You instructed this science to him. So that's at least 6, yeah? 6 times, 5 times by Krishna and once by Arjuna, calling this a science. Now some, even some devotees I've heard, would question that. Is Krishna's consciousness really a science? Well, Srila Prabhupada entitles the Nectar of Devotion. What is the subtitle of it? Who can tell me? No, that's the original by Rupa Goswami. Ladies, what is the subtitle to the Nectar of Devotion? You should know this, actually, if you've done Bhakti Shastri. Nearly. The complete science of Bhakti Yoga. So it's worth remembering that. It's the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. So it is a science. Now here, we're getting into these verses, yesterday's verse and today's verse, we're getting into some technicalities, or some, it's explained, especially in Nectar of Devotion, and in Waves of Devotion, which is a comprehensive study of the Nectar of Devotion by Danadas Swami, where it becomes very clear that this is definitely a very scientific process, which can be analyzed, which it not can be, but is analyzed by great acharyas in great depth. And for us, like myself, neophytes, it's actually quite difficult to understand all the technicalities that are given. But if you read Waves of Devotion, then you'll see so many lists. How minutely is Bhakti Yoga analyzed? Especially, of course, you can say also in the first 19 chapters, which you have studied in the Bhakti Shastri, that there's also technicalities in there. There's 64 items of devotional service. Is it 64 offenses as well? Anyway, so many, all listed like that. But if you go into the next part of the Nectar of Devotion, there's so much technical detail there, which is, I mean, a lot of it is very nectarian, like the qualities of Krishna. How many qualities does Krishna have? Listed at least in the, he's unlimited qualities, but how many does he have listed in? 64, yeah. So much detail. Now, this is also, this is talking about what's the main subject, what is, would you say, in a word that we know more familiarly? Anybody pick up on what, in the, especially in the purport, Prabhupada mentioned? Oh, actually, it's in the translation as well. Adi Ruta. Bhava. So bhava. So actually a few months ago I gave a class we looked at what are the characteristics of one in ecstatic love or bhava. I don't know if anybody remembers that, do you? So I'm going to test you again. How many characteristics are there of a person in ecstatic love for Krishna or bhava? Anybody can say how many there are? 9, yes. And can anybody tell us one of them? What they are? Yeah, that's the first one. And it's in Sanskrit, avyata kalatvam. Avyata kalatvam. Utilization of time. And it means, it refers to constant engagement in devotional service, 24 hours a day. So, I'm doing this because I'm not qualified to speak on Adi Rudra Bhava. I don't even understand what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying about Rupa Goswami, what he says. So, I think we have to look at Bhava in a more basic level. Okay, so the first one is avyata kalatvam, that a devotee in a state of bhava, he never likes to be idle. He always wants service 24 hours a day without deviation, 24 hours a day. So from this we can judge whether we're at the stage of bhava or somebody else is at the stage of bhava. It may be more relevant to us, to me anyway, to know whether somebody else is at the stage. So, anybody know a second one? Hope against hope. Yes. Do you know the Sanskrit? Yes, Ashabanda. Well done. Very good. Yeah, that's hope against hope. That's the fifth one actually listed. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gauri Nitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, so we've got two. Any more suggestions? English or Sanskrit, whichever you like. If you want to cheat, look up the Nectar Devotion, chapter 18. So, detachment. Yes. Do you know what the? Well done. You were in that class a few months ago, were you? Or you just know it anyway. Virakti. Now, there's a difference between virakti and vairagya. Do you remember what that is? Remember we mentioned that before. What is the difference between virakti and vairagya? Because normally we actually think of vairagya as detachment. Sorry? No, that is yukta vairagya. But the difference between the two. Any other suggestions? What's the difference between vairagya and virakti? They're both detachment, but what is the difference? Okay, so vairagya means you're just renouncing, you know, the objects of the senses. But virakti means actually you have no interest. You don't have to renounce. You're just not interested. So most of you are probably like that. You're not interested in any slight semblance, tinge of sense gratification. So you are viraktis, like that. Okay, so you're doing very well. Next one, anybody? Another one? Yes, perseverance. Do you know the Sanskrit? No, you don't know the Sanskrit. It's Shanti, kashanti, shanti. Perseverance, remaining tolerant and patient even amid disturbance. Sorry? Pridelessness. Okay. Yes, you know it's a difficult one, the Sanskrit for that one. You don't know. Mana shunyata. Shunya means nothing, doesn't it? It means zero. Shunya. Shunyavadi. Zero. To feel humble even though one is extremely elevated. So in the case of David here, he's extremely elevated, but he's very humble. So he's displaying mana shunyata. Okay. Any more? We've actually got the first five here, I think. Let me just check. We got the first five. So you've only got four to go. Actually, this next one, number six, is an interesting one. It's a very important one, actually. It's called Samut Kanta. Does anybody know what that is? No. Samut Kanta. Intense eagerness to achieve pure loving service. So that's very important. That's what we have to have. Intense eagerness to achieve pure loving service. And that is given actually in a very important verse, which says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kuto pi labhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritaya na labhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be obtained only by paying one price. What is that price? Lolyam, which is intense greed. So if we're greedy, that's fine. But just make sure it's greedy for pure devotional service. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. You must purchase it. So that's called Samut Kanta. Intense eagerness to achieve. So only three more. This one actually you will know about, but you just may not know about it in this context. David's answering all the questions, so let's get somebody else. Ram Lakshmi. Yes, that's right. But do you know what the Sanskrit is? Because it's not in the next. It's not there. Well, it starts with a word you definitely know. Nam. Yeah. Nama gane sada ruchi. Sada ruchi. Always eager, always attracted to chanting. Nama gane, gane, chanting. Nama gane sada ruchi. A constant attraction to chanting Hare Krishna. Okay. The eighth one, this is a very nice one actually, which we should do all the time. Gudrama Bihari, can you think of? Yes, but it's, kind of. But before hearing, what has to happen? No. Sorry, lady said something? It's Ashaktis tad guna kyane. Does that mean anything to you? What it means is addiction. So if you're addicted to something, it's fine, don't worry. As long as it's to glorifying Krishna's qualities. So that's important. Glorifying Krishna's qualities. So if you see somebody who's always just glorifying Krishna's qualities, you know they're at the stage of bhava. Ashaktis, that's the addiction. Tad guna kyane. Guna akyane, addiction to glorifying Krishna's qualities. And the final one, now somebody mentioned this, but yeah. Love for living in the Lord's Dham, love for it, not just desiring, but actually love for it, yeah. Pritish tad vasati stale, love for living in the Lord's Dham. So, if you haven't read, that's actually from chapter 18, but if you haven't read from chapter 20 onwards of the Nectar of Devotion, I advise you to do so. It's very nectarian, actually, but it does get a little bit difficult in some places. But particularly, this verse and purport are talking about the sattvika bhava, or the symptoms of ecstatic love. And I won't go into, there's chapter 27. If you want to look at chapter 27 of Nectar Devotion, you'll get it in there. But I'll just read to you what the symptoms are as listed in chapter 27 of Nectar Devotion. First one is dancing. So you all do that quite often. So maybe you're having ecstatic symptoms. The next one, I don't think you do that very, very much. Rolling on the ground. it's not recommended so much. In the dust of Vrindavan, it's a very good thing to do, isn't it? Next one is singing loudly. You can definitely all do that, I'm sure. The next one is stretching the body. Not just yawning and stretching of ears. I mean, in the case of Narada Muni, says here, when he remembered Lord Krishna in great ecstasy, he begins to stretch his body so vigorously that his sacred thread gives way, breaks. So that's really stretching the body. Crying loudly. Yawning. Mohan's in ecstasy here. Breathing heavily. You might be doing pranayama, but... and then neglecting the presence of others. There's a paragraph here, you can read it later. the next one. Excuse me, I have to... Drooling. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does it, it's quite... Well, it's nectarian. If an ordinary person does it, I'm not so sure if drooling is... Laughing like a madman. try and suppress that, I think, a little bit at this stage, anyway. Wheeling of the head. It's a short paragraph, so I'll just see what that means. One gopi told her friend, "It appears that Lord Krishna, the enemy of the demon Agha, has released from his mouth a whirlwind which is acting on your head and is gradually proceeding to do the same to the other lotus-eyed gopis." So, anyway, I'll let you think about that or look it up. And the final one, belching, yes. Belching, yes. So, it's not just from indigestion. It happens also when somebody is very elevated. So, that's just some points. I was going to speak about Bahulastami and the appearance of Radhakund, just maybe for a couple of minutes. Does anybody know why Radhakund appears on Bahulastami? Or what the connection is, rather? Anyone know the connection? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's all true. But Astami means the eighth day. And? Yeah, Bahula. That's the connection. Actually, Radhakund is in Bahulavan. Bahulavan is considered one of the most sacred forests of Vrindavan. And, of course, I don't know if everybody's listening to these two-minute Raj Parikramas, but Sutapa, he spoke about this pastime of Bahula. But if you haven't heard that or seen it, basically Bahula's a cow who was very peacefully grazing in some forest meadow, and then she got attacked by a tiger, and the tiger wanted to eat her, but she begged for mercy and said, okay, you can eat me, no problem, but let me just go back. I have a calf, and that calf needs feeding, and I'd like to just feed her one last time, and then I'll come back, I promise you. So the tiger was actually obviously quite a pious tiger because he thought this was okay. This is, you know, he trusted her, which is, you know, quite something. That wasn't in Kali Yuga, obviously. So he let her go, and she went back to her home, And she found a calf and she fed the calf. And then she explained what had happened. She says, okay, I've got to go now. I'm saying goodbye to you. And the calf said, she explained the whole story, that she had to go back and be eaten by a tiger. And the calf said, no, no, you can't do that. You gave me that. I'll go. You stay home and I'll go. And, you know, the tiger can eat me. And then her owner, Brahmana owner, he also understood what the situation was. And he felt very sad that Bahula and or the calf were going to be killed by a tiger. So he says, no, no, I go. You're our mother. So I should go. So he and in the end, they couldn't decide who was going to be eaten by the tiger. So all three went. And when the tiger saw this very fortunate turn of events, he was very happy, licked his lips, and was just deciding who he's going to eat first, because he's probably going to eat all three, when who should appear? Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna appeared. And Lord Krishna said to the tiger, he says, you will gain eternal fame if you just spare these three personalities, the Brahmana, the calf, and the cow. And the tiger was convinced. Pretty wonderful tiger, really. So he wandered off back into the forest. Probably he became a vegetarian after that, anyway. And Krishna was very, very pleased. Why was he so pleased with Bahula and the calf and the Brahmana? Yes, because Krishna is the Lord of Dharma and truthfulness. Truthfulness is the last leg of Dharma in Kali Yuga. So he's very pleased, actually, with anybody who upholds truthfulness and Dharma. And actually, yeah, in this age, truthfulness is our protection against Kali Yuga. Of course, Sutapa also said that there's two versions of this story. One is just that the tiger wandered back into the forest. The other is that the tiger actually was Yamaraj, and he was just testing. But both versions agree on the fact that actually Krishna said to Bahula the cow, in your next life you will become my wife. So she was very fortunate, Bahula. So it's one of the most sacred vans or forests in Vrindavan, Bahula van. And it's even more sacred because Radhakund is situated there. And if you want, you can today, in honor of Radhakund, you can read verses 9 to 11 of Nectar of Instruction, because it's all about Radhakund and how it is the most sacred place in the whole universe. And you can also read in the Bhagavatam about the appearance of Radhakund. I was going to tell the story, but actually it's already been told by Ram Lakshman. So no need to tell it. And it's already 25 to 9. So if there's any comments or... Yes, Prabhu. Shamya Krishna, yeah.
Was it because he was experiencing ecstatic symptoms?
So the question is, for those who are online, was Samyak Rishi, who Parikshit Maharaj came to his ashram and he put a snake over his shoulder, was he actually experiencing ecstatic symptoms?
Yeah, according to this definition of neglecting presence of others.
Neglecting the presence of others. Yes, that's a good point. Well, he was definitely in samadhi of some sort. Whether he was in bhava or not, I don't think it says in the Bhagavatam, unless anybody can correct me or they can look it up. But yeah, he was definitely unconscious. So maybe it was. It's a good point, an interesting point. It could be a symptom of bhava. I think somebody may be in samadhi, completely oblivious to... I mean, actually, even mundane people, sometimes they become totally absorbed in what they're doing. Doesn't mean to say they're actually in bhava. But, you know, and I remember my father, he used to, in his old age, he used to fix watches. And they're very small works, and so he'd get totally involved, and then you could speak to him, and he just wouldn't respond at all. You know, he was just totally absorbed in this little intricate watchmaking thing. And so it may be, in the case of Samyak Rishi, it's possible. But whether it is or not, I don't know. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Rasaraj.
Thank you for the class, Baba. One of the ecstatic symptoms is also hair standing on end, but we didn't have that in the list. So is there a different list of ecstatic symptoms?
You can look up in the... There's more chapters, actually, in the Nectar of Devotion. Existential, ecstatic love, becoming stunned, perspiring, standing of hairs on the body. So this is in chapter 28, yeah. Faltering of the voice, trembling, changing of bodily color, tears, devastation, degrees of ecstatic symptoms. Oh, well, that's not one of the symptoms. So yeah, there's more. So you just have to read more, but yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Just a quick thing. How should we pray to Shyamkund and Radhakund, and how do we kind of get the mercy today? What should be our mood?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I can give you. I can give you a verse. I think. There was one verse, I mentioned it, I think it was last week, which you can you can meditate on. I just have to... So it's in the fourth volume of Navavraja Mahima by Srila Shivaram Maharaj. Page 87, I believe. So it's a verse that you can, or devotees actually say or recite before bathing in Radhakund or Shyamakund. And it's from the Varaha Purana. Sava papa harastirtham namaste hari muktidaha namah kaivalya nataya radha krishna bidayane. O Sri Radha Kund, O Krishna Kund, you destroy all sins within the heart and then fill it with one-pointed love. From the very core of my being, I offer my humble obeisances to you again and again. So if anybody who wants, I can send it to you on WhatsApp. You just have to give me your, if I haven't got it. So afterwards, if you give me your thing. Is that okay? That's, I think, is enough to be getting on with, yeah.
Thank you so much for class, Prabhu. I just had a question in regards to, you know, you discussing the aspect of Krishna consciousness being a science. Mm-hmm. So often our understanding of something that's scientific, it's rigid, you know, it's a immediate cause and effect, and it has like a linear of sequences in that regard. How can we understand that Krishna consciousness being also diverse and open to everyone from different points and different stages can still be part of this as a science and not just as a sentimental kind of like emotional processing that's coming from trying to establish a connection.
Yeah, I mean, negative devotion is all about is giving us all the process. It is a process, isn't it? You follow the process, you get the result. That's what science is basically, isn't it? It's observation. Science is observation or examination of something. Or in our case, it's hearing, it's reading. And then from that, you apply to... I mean, it's the greatest science in the sense that actually you can apply it to your life. It's not just some theoretical thing or about something that has no application to you, like, you know, the life cycle of some bug or something. Which and yeah, so there is the hypothesis or the you know, the what you have to do, you're given that, and therefore you accept it in theory, like Srila Prabhupada says in the beginning of the introduction. For now, just accept it in theory that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then apply what he says. So that's the hypothesis, that actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality. So what if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you follow his instructions, and then you get the result, yeah.
So for us who, you know, when we read these things of like, you know, the symptoms of bhav and all these ecstatic symptoms, etc., mm-hmm. we should, instead of assessing like, you know, how far we are from that, we should still just maintain following the rigidity aspect of the process, which is like
sadhana. Well, that's vaidhi sadhana bhakti, isn't it? Vaidhi, you know, it means following the rules and regulations. So yeah, of course, that's when we're neophytes, we should follow. Then it becomes more esoteric later. But it's at any stage, whether it's at the beginning, in the middle, or the end, it's all actually scientific, really. But of course, scientific people may not agree because they think it has to be in a test tube or something or whatever. But actually, your life is our test tube, isn't it? Yeah. So, anything else? Gudruma Bihari Puru. Yeah, that's right.
So it's like if they apply the process properly. Of the idea to the process, then you'll get the right result.
Yeah.
So like they have to do the experiment, which is follow the chant. You know.
Yeah, that's the experiment. That's a good word. That's if you just use that word, experiment. Yeah. Okay, we better finish there. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanand.